Hello, and welcome to another episode of the In Your Field podcast. Today, I'm joined by Hannah Baxter, an online coach and personal trainer. Hannah joins me from her base in rural Somerset, where we discuss the joys and pitfalls of social media and how making small lifestyle changes can benefit your business. There's a little cameo from Max the dog, and there's great news that sex counts as cardio. Or did I mishear her? In any case, have a listen to find out. And now, over to Hannah.
So I'm an online PT nutritionist. I work with purely the female variety. I've been doing it for about 6 years now, online since pre-COVID. So I luckily wasn't affected really by any of that, which was quite nice. Just built up a really nice team community of women who all like to lift weights pretty much. We all like our food, you know, and it's just like really nice working with a bunch of women who are all on the same page really, like, and just enjoy training, getting stronger.
And drinking wine.
Yeah, drinking wine. I've got a couple of non-wine drinkers, actually.
I suspect they drink something else because there might be...
I've actually got a few who don't drink at all.
That's amazing. Just so
good. Yeah, they are amazing. No, some people just don't. But obviously, I like a G&T or a wine.
Yeah. Whereabouts in the UK do you live then? So obviously, in your field, we tend to talk to a lot of rural businesses. And I know that you did an epic move a few years ago and you've been renovating a house, haven't you? So whereabouts in the UK are you, Han?
So we are kind of between Bristol and Bath, out in the middle of nowhere, really. And yeah, we moved back from Barcelona, like... six years ago now, nearly. And we've been renovating what we call faulty towers for several years. It was a little bit more of a project than we thought it was going to be. And then obviously life gets busy. You get kind of caught up in other stuff. I've definitely been growing the business and working on that, which hasn't helped the renovation. But, you know, I have an office now, which is...
I was going to say, we've seen the transformation of the office from bare walls, plaster, no carpet, to a beautiful...
It looks a lot better now than it is. So, yeah, it still doesn't have a door. I don't show that part, but there's no door on it still.
Have you still got the selfie mirror, though? That's the thing.
Yeah, of course. That's still here. That's still a main feature. So we are pretty much in the sticks, have two dogs, get out and about in the countryside a lot. And yeah, it's nice. I enjoy it. But we're quite close still to Bristol and Bath. So I do get to go into the city, the big smoke.
Yeah, occasionally. And to eat, because you go to some nice restaurants as well, don't you? So, but I suppose there's a lot locally as well.
Yeah, there's quite a lot. We've got like country pubs and things like that. We've got a nice seafood place locally. And yeah.
Are you near the coast?
Sorry?
You're not near the coast in Bradford.
No,
I know. But there is an... Okay.
It's just a seafood restaurant. It's not because it's like on the coast.
No, I was a little bit confused there. Just a little bit.
You were questioning your geography then, weren't you?
I was, yeah. I was kind of thinking to myself, I know... Yeah, no. Anyway, don't even go there with my geography. So in terms of... When you set up as an online PT, you've always done it remotely, clearly, because that's what an online PT does. So has broadband and connectivity been an issue for you ever? And yeah, go on then, tell us a little bit about how all that worked out.
I did initially start as a PT in a gym, and then I kind of moved gradually to online. When we moved here, like initially it wasn't too much of an issue. As kind of technology has moved on, I went through a phase of absolute like horrendousness. Like I was trying to upload videos because technology is more like, I guess, bigger, data's a lot bigger. Like when I started out, I was probably only sending like odd photos, things like that. I wasn't sending like massive videos and things like that and uploading a lot of data, whereas now I do. And we got to a point where I'd be like literally sitting there tearing my hair out because I'd be spending like an hour and a half trying to upload a video and I'd be like, ah!
Yeah.
But we got quite lucky and we've got fibre optic in the village now. So now I don't have the issue. Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah, so I think that that's what's happened over time. You know, it's been a real talking point throughout the time that we've had the Rural Business Awards. So if we started in 2013, 14, it was a huge issue back then. But, you know, it's got better. And I think that what's happened with COVID is that people have realised that it's not as bad as perhaps they thought it was. It's interesting that you talk about, you know, upload speeds as well, because, yeah. And I'm going technical a bit now, but everybody's always worried about whether they can download movies. But for business people, it's not necessarily the download that matters. It's being able to upload things to the cloud so that you can share them. So it does make a huge difference if you can get your cable broadband, fibre broadband. So, yeah, it's good. So it's a good
thing. It was a very, very happy day for me because I was just like, oh, my God, I haven't got any of these issues anymore. So, yeah, since we've had that and we've had it, I don't know, probably 6 months now, it's just made my life so much easier because it was just super frustrating. You know, when you can work at a certain speed, but everything that you do, and it's like, you just sat there going.
And also that's probably coincided actually with a big increase in how you have set up your business because you're able to do things more. You've changed your technology, you've changed your platform and everything else, haven't you? So, and taking on more clients, I think.
Yeah. So I optimised a lot of the ways that I was doing things just because in like there was progressions in technology and things that I could take advantage of that meant that I could help more people really. Having that as well, like if I was trying to run the amount of clients that I do now on the broadband that I had before, there's no way, like I'd be working every single hour of the day. Like, I just wouldn't be able to do it.
No.
That has made a really big impact, to be honest. I don't think I could have done it otherwise.
That's really cool. So how many clients do you work with now, Hannah?
Usually around 50. So that's about my maximum. Yeah, I won't do any more than that. Like, some online coaches have, like, well over 100. But I just don't think that I like to know all of my clients and kind of keep a level of service. And I think beyond that, I just don't think I can really. So, yeah, I kind of restrict it there.
Yeah, I think that feeds quite nicely into my dog's whining. Can you hear him? I don't know why.
He's like, I'm here.
Yeah, just make his presence felt there, Max. Now be quiet. Good boy. That feeds quite nicely into the fact that, you know, like I said in the introduction, Hannah and I work together. So I've worked with Hannah now probably since January I started, didn't I? So we've been through quite a lot together. I've known you for a lot longer than that as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've known you longer.
And we've done a photo shoot and we're hopefully going to do another photo shoot next year. But I think you saying that you minimise the amount of clients really that you work with, you could do a lot more. I think that feeds quite nicely into kind of how you have set up your business and the ethos of your business. Because like you say, you're not like many online PTs. I can say that from experience. There's a lot of, you know, social media warriors out there and people, you know, putting the stuff out on, certainly on Instagram. We all do quite a lot on Instagram. We have a really nice community on there, actually. But in terms of how, what's your approach to, you know, getting, because you work with women mainly, what do women come to you with the problems that they're facing, or what do they want to achieve when they sign up with you? And what's your ethos, really? How do you work with them?
So I think it varies. Like, I get some people come to me with in general, I would say it's normally a fat loss goal. And what I tend to do is most of the clients that I take on, you attract kind of the kind of people that you know you can help, if that makes sense. Like, it automatically comes through the content that I put out and everything like that. Like, you attract a certain type of client. And generally, it'll be people who've dieted, on and off most of their adult life. And I tend to, I don't have any, like, I won't do, like, here you go, here's a 12-week plan, you know, and, like, this is a diet plan. And then at the end of it, they go and put back all the weight on that they've gained. I work more on people's mindset, their behaviours, and actually looking at things that they can sustain and making changes that they're going to be able to do in the long term, rather than it just being a diet, and making sure that it fits in with people's lives. So it's all very well, you know, saying I'm going to cut out carbs for 12 weeks, or I'm going to, you know, do cut out wine for 12 weeks, you know, like all of those types of things. But I'm more in the camp of saying, right, let's work out how we can adjust your current life behaviors, lifestyle, to make it work towards your goals, rather than trying to just like start a new life or get rid of it, which is where I think a lot of other diets, that's what they do. And that's why you get this yo-yo and the kind of cycle that people keep going round and round and round and round, and they never really find
balance. It's about balance. Yeah. We all talk about balance quite a lot in the community that we have. We're called Team Baxter, obviously, aren't we?
Obviously.
Yeah, obs. So I think that there's a lot. I mean, we train hard, some of us harder than others, and I'm putting myself in the not so hard category at the moment. But I think, you know, like you said, life sometimes takes over, and I think it's about, you know, even, you know, bringing this back to business owners. I'm a business owner. You're a business owner. At times, it's so difficult to fit things in. You've got clients, you've got other people that you're putting first. You have got a family, maybe pets. Let's just talk pets. Yes, dogs.
Let's not talk about them.
But everybody's got lots going on. And when you own a business, the demands on your time are huge. So people quite often think, oh, I haven't got time to keep fit. I haven't got time to, you know, do all this and make a difference to my weight or to achieve what I would do if I didn't have that time. But what it is that I think that you enable people to do is to not only find that time, but to fit it in. Yes. And it's so important. I mean, you talk a lot about mindset and wellness, as well as, you know, weight loss. It's not all about weight loss. I'm not on a weight loss thing. I'm quite happy where I am. So we call it maintenance, don't we? So just kind of having a life. Let's just call it having a life, and not yo-yoing and not being unhealthy. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into wellness that isn't related to necessarily to diet and exercise. So talk to us a little bit about that whole thing.
So yeah, that's you kind of summed it up really. Like what I would say is one of the things that I focus on is that your life will change. There are curveballs. At some points, your business will be the number one priority. Sometimes fat loss will be a slightly higher priority. Sometimes having a social life is more of a priority. And that's okay. I think it's when, and it's kind of fitting in what you can and understanding what you can do, rather than saying, right, I'm going to go to the gym 5 times a week. I'm also trying to really excel in my business. I'm also trying to do this. I'm also trying to do that. Going, okay, you know, like I've got a really big business project on, so I'm probably going to go to the gym 2 or 3 times a week and do some like shorter sessions. So I'm still staying fit, healthy, you know, and I'm doing what I need to do, but I have to recognize that it's not my number one priority right now. And I can't do all of it, because what I find people tend to do is they try to overcommit in too many places. And then when you do that, you just go, can't do it. And then like you go, you completely sack off the gym, completely sack off eating well, completely like everything goes. Whereas what you're better to do is go, right, I've realised that I can't do everything at the speed that I want to. So I'm going to have to tone down this, but I can still do something and I still need to prioritise something. Because I think, and I definitely find this with women in general, is that we tend to prioritise ourselves last. And actually, it's really important to, like, if you want to perform well, like, I'm guilty of it as well. Like, I'll be like, oh, I'll just get up really early and I'll start working straight away. And I went through a phase of doing it. And my day was less productive. Like, if I now, I most days I go up, go to the gym first, walk the dogs, and then I come down, come and sit and work. And I'm so much more productive through my day. Like, I could work another 2-3 hours on top of what I'm doing. But if I don't get in that time for myself, then I'm not very productive. And it's just kind of recognizing that and working out what's a priority to you at a different time and what you realistically can do and making it less all or nothing. Like, just because you can't do your normal 5 sessions in the gym, it doesn't mean you have to go, oh, I'm not going to do anything. Like, just being realistic about what you can do. I think
that's the thing. It's about, I suppose it's about not beating yourself up as well, about not being able to do things and to be able to, you know, a lot of people say, oh no, I've screwed up. This is what we hear. I've screwed up. I'm going to start again on Monday and it might only be Wednesday, but why can't you just pick up the next day? And I think that that's something that I've learned over the time with you, just to start again tomorrow. You don't have to wait for Monday, just start tomorrow.
Or even, I always say, like, your next decision, just because you made one decision that doesn't align with what you want, like, your next decision, you can change that. And, you know, I think that's something that definitely comes from dieting, where it's like, oh, screw it, I'll start again. I'll start again Monday, I'll start again next week. And then, like, almost, you know, well, self-sabotaging, really, in the time in between, which is so unconstructive, whereas you could just make some, like, small changes, you know. Just because you had a takeaway pizza on a Wednesday night or whatever, it's definitely not the end of the world, you know. And you just fit it in, and, like, it's just, you have a limited capacity for everything. I mean, even like I was saying, like, if you, you know, try to do too much, you eventually get to a point where it's like, right, I need to stop, or something has to give. And it's just working out different priorities at different times and what's going to be, and accepting, it's like you said, accepting that you can't do necessarily everything, but just because it's not perfect or it's not 100% of what you want it to be, something usually, especially with diet and exercise, something is better than nothing. Like, yeah, you know, getting your steps in every day is better than just sitting. That wasn't a dig.
I have to say, it's not my finest thing, is it, getting my steps in? I think I'm guilty of sitting at my desk for too long. But, you know, I try when I can, I do try. So I'm just going to keep my head down here. What I want you to share as well with people is a little bit about your journey and how you ended up as a PT, because you've not always been a PT, have you?
No. I had quite a kind of corporate job. I used to travel a lot. I used to do a lot of kind of wining and dining, all that type of thing. Lived over in Barcelona, did various jobs over there. But I got into, I suppose, I got into kind of training. I really enjoyed it. I kind of taught myself to weight train when we were living abroad. And I just really, like, got a bit of a kick out of it and getting stronger. And I kind of got to a point where I was like, oh, you know, you see a lot of, I guess, fitness people, and they're really, you know, they are fitness people, if you know what I mean. And I've never been a fitness person. Like, I like my wine, I like nights out, I like my food out. You know, I'm definitely not someone who's taking chicken and broccoli to a restaurant. That's not happening. And I kind of wanted to bring something to the industry that meant that other people could see that there was, like, you don't have to be, you know, like, this perfect.
It's being multidimensional, isn't it? You're multidimensional when a lot of people are, that is it. That, you know, what you see is what you get. And yes, it's the chicken and broccoli. And a lot of coaches, you've had experience with coaches as well, that happened entirely positive for yourself. So I think that you've learned as well what works, what doesn't work, and that there is a space for something a bit different.
I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, I know I've been...
Tell people what you did a few years ago.
When I competed?
Yeah.
How did I get like this? So, yeah, when I first got into the industry, I competed. It was a big thing, and I was kind of like, yeah, I want to do it. I'm very determined when I set my mind to something, and I just saw it as a challenge. I'm glad I did it. I would never do it again. Like, it wasn't me at all. However, I do think it was a really good experience for me as a coach and as a person, because, you know, it shows that you can do something to push yourself to quite a level. And also, I know how it taught me about how far I can push other people. And, like, you know, and I also think to a certain degree, you have to have always walked the walk if you, you know, want to talk the talk. I don't coach anyone who competes or anything like that, but I do get some clients pretty lean, and, you know, I think experiencing that was a good thing to do. But yeah, I try to encourage more of a just open relationship with my clients. Like, you know, I don't tell anyone off. I don't, like, you know, it's not about that. And I just say to people, you know, like, be honest with me, whatever's going on, and we can kind of work with it. And, you know, I quite often get people who've fallen into a wine bottle, or, you know, accidents happen.
Looking around. I think one of my funniest things was messaging you and saying, oh, Hannah, I have fallen into a wine bottle. I've had a bottle and a half of wine. What am I going to do? And you're just like, well, just
kind of
maybe stop now and just go to bed, sleep it off. We'll talk tomorrow.
It's just like, I just think it's like being realistic. And yeah, I don't really, that I don't expect people to be perfect. I'm certainly not. So I just don't, and I think it's unrealistic. And that was always kind of where I wanted to sit with it. Like, I never wanted to be because it's not me. And that was always like the thing that I saw that was missing, was the fact of, like, someone who wasn't going to tell you off for drinking a bottle of wine or whatever, you know, because it happens. Accidents happen.
Coincidence, I think we call them, don't we?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so it's good. But you work a lot on mindset with people as well. So I know from the group of women that are kind of there at the moment that I am friends with, we have a lot of people who have spent their whole life feeling inadequate, feeling like they have to look and be a certain weight, or, you know, present images on social media and things like that. So, like I say, we get a lot of stick for social media, don't we? Or social media gets a lot of stick, but it can also be incredibly positive. And I know that what we'll do at the end is share your Instagram and your Facebook, and people can see that there's an awful lot of people that you help, you have helped, you do help with mindset so much around the fact that it's not always about how you look necessarily. We can be like that if we want to, you know, you can look a certain way, but it also doesn't have to be restrictive in order to get there. But you have to make your choices sometimes, don't you?
And that's exactly it. Like, I'll always say that to people, like, if you want to look a certain way, or, you know, and, like, I've had people get quite lean for photo shoots and things like that. And in general, I would say, like, you know, that's a temporary thing. You will have to give up, you know, like, in order to get to certain levels of body fat, it means giving things up. You know, you're not going to be going out as much. You're not going to be drinking wine as much. You're not going to be, and that's fine, but it's just being realistic about it. Like, a lot of people, I think, on social media just go, oh yeah, you know, like, I've got this perfect life and I do everything and, you know, I stay this lean and blah blah. And for most people, that's not true, unless you've got, like, exceptional genetics. Or I think that a lot of people hide a lot of the truth of what goes on, really.
You don't see their restriction, do you? You know, you might see once in a blue moon where they go out for a meal and they share, you know, that they are having wine or whatever. But actually, behind the scenes every day, there is restriction. If you want to maintain that very lean physique, it's not realistic it's not realistic for very many usual people who work and have a family life and, you know, want to socialise with friends and things like that. It's quite a commitment.
Yeah, it's not realistic for most people, to be honest. like a lot of the people that you see who look like that, that's their job. And like, that is what they live and breathe most of the time. Like taking pictures for Instagram is their job. And they're under quite a lot of pressure to stay in a certain, you know, body. And I mean, like, I couldn't think of anything worse, really. But yeah, it's very easy to look at an image and go, oh, I want to look like that, but without seeing
what goes on,
the 24 hours around that, like, snapshot. Because, yeah, like, they probably aren't eating out very often. They probably aren't eating a huge amount. They probably, you know, not kind of going, you know, going around to friends' barbecues, going up to dinner. They're probably not doing any of that. They might go out once a week or something like that, and they show that on social media. But probably the rest of the time is quite restrictive, as you said. But yeah, and I think it's quite important that you know what you want to achieve and what you've got to do to get there, and whether you're prepared.
Carry on.
Whether you're prepared to do it, really.
I'm just shutting the door because I think the postman's coming.
Oh, God, is that going to result in a barking incident?
Yes, a really loud barking incident, knowing that. There we go. So kind of wrapping up the fitness thing, before I get on to my questions that I've set for you, which is quite interesting. Well, no, they're not interesting, actually. I've made up in my weird head. If anyone's thinking that they want to start a fitness journey,
yeah,
what resources, what are the three things you would advise them to start to think about and maybe to start to do?
Just like I would always say, start small, like just make minor changes, like look for areas you can increase your activity, look for things that you enjoy, so different types of activity that you enjoy, because if you enjoy it, then you're gonna you're likely to keep up. Probably nutrition wise again, like look at like healthier alternatives of the things that you like to eat. If you're a big takeaway fan, get something like a Pinch of Nom recipe book, does loads of bakeaways, you know, those types of things. Make it small, simple, and yeah, don't just go, I'm going to completely overhaul everything, because you just won't stick to it. It's just looking at little things, and over time, you can kind of turn the volume up, if you like, with those things, but start out small, and then it feels manageable.
Yeah, cool. I was kind of thinking as well, there's a couple of things that you always say to us that we should prioritise. Ta-da! And then, right on cue, she picks up her water. So we drink water.
Hydration
is actually really important for everybody, isn't it? And none of us drink enough water. And another one?
Steps.
So
sleep. Okay. Steps and sleep.
I thought you said sex. I was going to say, that's me out of the running there, then, isn't it?
You probably should prioritise. It's cardio, isn't it? So, you know, that could be in there.
Steps and sleep, I was thinking. So water, steps and sleep. And then you've kind of got a nice basis, haven't you? So why is water important?
Why is water? Well, your body's made up pretty much of water. And, like your digestion will improve. You won't be wanting to eat as much. You'll just generally feel like, I think everything improves. It sounds silly, but everything improves. Like your skin improves. You just feel better for drinking water and being hydrated. It's a proper cliched one, but it's true.
Yeah, and sleep. We often have a debate about sleep in our group, don't we?
Because some
people don't sleep.
I mean, I don't think there's any debating about it, really. Well, not from my aspects. Like, you will perform better. You'll be less hungry. Like, if you have a bad night's sleep, it affects your mood. Like, you tend to just kind of crave sweet stuff. Your concentration is going to be affected. Your ability to train, your motivation to do anything, move, you know, all of those things just get affected. And it affects your output in the day, you know, like you don't feel like you want to do anything if you're tired. It's one that always gets put to the back of the list, but it's important.
You and I are funny because we are absolutely on the same page, in bed by 9 o'clock. with a 9 o'clock crew, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm such a saddo, but I love it. I just love going to bed.
It's my time. I go to bed at 8 o'clock and I turn off everything, listen to a book, 9:30, out for the count. Job done. So
best way.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So now we move on to my quick fire questions, as I like
go,
to.
Go, go, go.
So where do you like to go in the UK? So what's your favourite place in the UK to go and recharge your batteries, Hannah?
So I'd probably say Cornwall. My husband's from Cornwall. We're going down there for the wedding. Not my wedding, a friend's wedding in a couple of weeks. But it's just a beautiful place. And I always feel like it's a little bit, let's definitely say more rural. Like there's no chains there. There's no, you know, like it's just always so much more peaceful and quiet. And also I think just being by the coast, because we don't live by anywhere really near the sea, despite the seafood restaurant. We don't really live anywhere near the sea. So I just find it quite calming, really.
I just think, and when you've always, have you always lived sort of away from the seaside, apart from in Barcelona, obviously?
Well, I'm from Norfolk originally, so they're not too far away from the sea, but this is probably the furthest I've lived, to be honest, from the sea. So.
And I'm in the middle of the country, so I've got this affinity with the sea because I have always been landlocked and I just absolutely love the seaside. It just
feels it definitely chills you out, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And this one's a total geeky question. And I don't know whether you might even not have a thought of this, but it says, if you were gifted 200 acres of land with an unrestricted budget and the remit to better people's lives, what would you do?
I'd start up like a wellness retreat. Well, that's quite an easy one. Like you'd do, right, I will say though, I have no concept of how big 200 acres is, but I'm guessing it's really big.
Quite big. Well, neither so,
yeah.
Actually, it's quite big.
Like I'd start up, yeah, you know, so like a gym, like a really cool gym, like swimming, spa, you know, like a retreat type yoga, yeah, everything, basically everything. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'd be there. Can I come to the opening, please?
Yeah, you can come and live there if you want.
Lifetime member, I'll be there.
Maybe have like a dog petting centre for calmness.
So not my dog then, and probably not yours.
Not mine either.
They're the ones that kind of, yeah, the big and dopey are dogs, aren't they? Bless them. What's your favourite book or podcast for personal development?
I like the book at the moment. The One Thing, I really like that. Atomic Habits is really good. I really like Stephen Bartlett's podcast, Diary of a CEO. Yeah, they're the main ones.
And for business, so Diary of a CEO, that would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's more business, really. I have a business mentor as well, so I do a lot kind of alongside that, yeah.
That's cool. Who's your hero or your inspiration? What makes you keep going? Who makes you keep going?
Well, do you know what? Like, I wouldn't really say anyone famous, but both my dad... Well, my dad is no longer with us, but my dad and my brother both my brother's still here, have had an amazing work ethic and just like really good kind of morals around business and stuff like that. And I think I've always found that pretty inspiring.
That's lovely. That's really nice. And finally, we can big somebody up in your local area. Who's your local business hero? So what local businesses do you...
Oh, God, that's really hard. There's quite a few actually. I don't interact with loads of local businesses, but like a few kind of beauty, you know, gyms, things like that. All of the local business owners, like especially the ones who've kind of diversified to kind of survive the pandemic. Like I think we've been really wanting to support just like local restaurants.
Yeah.
But no, like, you know, they've made a lot of changes to kind of survive this time. And I think it's really quite inspiring to see how hard people have worked to kind of keep going through everything. And yeah, and it's just nice to be able to support people as much as you can locally.
So, well, we might put a few on the show notes. If you send some over that you really like, if they've got some links and things, we'll share them.
Cool. Okay.
Where can people find you, Hannah? Tell us a little bit about how people get in touch with you and everything else.
Mainly Instagram. I'm Hannah B Fitness, and I'm Hannah with only one H, which confuses everyone. So it's HANNAB and then Fitness on Instagram. And that's my main thing, really. I don't tend to use, I've got a Facebook page and I think it's Hannah Baxter Fitness, but I hardly use it anymore. Just Instagram is the one. I can only focus on one channel.
Yeah, me too. Oh, what, God, goodness knows how I manage. But we'll share all that on the show notes and everything else. But I think we're about done for today. It's been an absolute pleasure, as usual.
As always.
Yeah, as usual. And I will catch up with you later. Thanks a lot, Hannah.
Thanks for joining us for the In Your Field podcast. To make sure you don't miss an episode, subscribe either via Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favourite podcasts.